Well, the holiday is almost upon us, and I debated whether or not I should bother to record an episode because, of course, everybody's got a lot of things to do, hopefully, and family to see and friends and some merrymaking at this time of the year. But I decided that, well, I can spare a little bit of time to share with you what's going on in my life and a topic that has been on my mind a lot of late. And that is the topic of fear. Now, I'm not talking about getting eaten by a tiger or getting hit by a bus or falling off a cliff type of fear. I'm talking about little red tape fear, the small fear that tangles us up in our lives and makes the bigger issues and the bigger problems that we have way more impactful and worse. That's what I want to talk about today in episode 41.
You're listening to Adventure RX, an active prescription for the non-compliant.
The Adventure RX podcast is a production of Living Vertical Studios. Visit livingvertical.org to access our blog and to connect with us on social media. And at livingvertical.org, you can purchase our professional photography that helps support the work that we do. Now, I want to mention that in the coming weeks here, we're going to be moving onto the road and we're going to be moving towards a more visual style of storytelling. That doesn't mean that the podcast is going away. That just means that as we have different things in our life and on our plate, that it's going to require us to be a little light on our feet in terms of telling the story and sharing our experience in the most vivid and also authentic way. And I have been really working to develop my video setup, and I actually wrote some blogs about that recently, including a new video that I just recently put out on our YouTube channel, and you can find all of that at livingvertical.org. And I'd like to encourage you, if you haven't done so already, just to visit our homepage and to sign up for our email updates, because we have a lot of different channels, we have a lot of different things going on, and I understand that everybody has a limited amount of time and resources to spend, even on the things that we enjoy. And so this way, if you're connected with us via email, all the different creative projects that we're working on are going to come into the same place, basically, which is directly to you via email. And that includes updates about our meetups, which right now we are tentatively hoping to have our first meetup in Joshua Tree in early March of 2016. Now, that's tentative, of course, but we're going to keep you updated about that and everything else that we have going on. And if you visit the homepage, sign up for the email list. It's a simple way to keep track of all that. Honestly, right now, what I've been doing for the last few days is waiting. I've sold the majority of the things that I can spare on eBay. I've acquired the things that I need to be able to make this move and to be able to share that story. And like I mentioned, I wrote a little bit about the selection process and how it was challenging for me to pick the camera gear that I felt would be the best fit for the type of storytelling that I'm going to be doing out there on the road, and why I ultimately went in a direction that maybe was a little bit out of step with what a lot of people would think represents the apex of quality in terms of optics, but a setup that ultimately I think is going to serve me very well based on what my needs are. And through that entire process, I've been just waiting and trying to kill time in a sense, which is something that, you know, philosophically I'm very opposed to, because I think that time is our most important resource that we have. And so I've been trying to look at it not as killing time as much as just learning patience and practicing patience and enjoying the comforts that I have here for the next several weeks until those comforts go by the wayside and they're replaced with spectacular scenery and a little bit of inconvenience and discomfort that is certainly going to go along with that transition. But the waiting is really difficult. And one of the things that makes waiting so difficult is because it creates a gap. It creates an empty space in your mind. And when there is an opening, when there is an opportunity for the voices and specifically for fear to rush in, it will happen. And it happens very quickly and without you really realizing it. And soon you get sucked into a very, you know, where you start to be worried and you have all these doubts and concerns that you can't really do anything about, but they're still kind of swirling around you and reducing your ability to appreciate where you are in the interim period. And so that's why I wanted to talk a little bit today about fear. And typically when we discuss fear, we think of fear, we usually think of it like crap your pants, you know, shaking in your boots, something awful and horrifying is going to happen. But through this whole process of downsizing and moving into a small space and living on the road and making this adjustment in our lives, I've kind of come to realize that the biggest fear that is really the biggest obstacle, I should say, is little fear. It's the small fears, the little mosquito fear, not the big bear that's going to like come and snap you in half type of fear. Because the big fears, typically, you know, when you're next to the edge of a cliff and you're afraid, well, typically that's, you know, there's a good reason for that. That's necessary. Things that I'm dealing with are more the, you know, what if I don't have enough clothes? Or what if, you know, I try to tell my story and I suck at it and nobody cares about the videos? Or what if I put all this work into the cameras or and getting cameras and people aren't interested in following along with the story? What if I, you know, lose interest in this stuff and all the effort and the priority that I've placed on this? What if that goes by the wayside? I can't necessarily control that. Or what will people think of me? Or what do people expect of me? Those are the little fears, the smaller items that actually have a lot more real estate in the landscape of our thought process. And they're so much more dangerous because it's harder to recognize those things and turn them off. And that's something that I've been working through and I've been struggling with a little bit lately, because I've really felt compelled to make this next adventure that we're doing not climbing for a cause as much as climbing just because. You know, it's fairly normal to go out there and say, we're going to climb Mount Everest because we want to raise awareness for diabetes, or we're going to do any sort of unconventional activity to raise awareness for whatever. And there was a time when I did that, and there is value in that, and I'm glad that I did that. However, in this situation, for me, it feels a lot more like I'm going out because I want to live my life a certain way. And in a lot of ways, I want to take my life back from diabetes, because I just don't want that to be the focus of my life. And there's a lot of fear that goes with that, because I care about how people see the work that we're doing and that people understand what we're doing. And that by changing the focus and not making this project or this next adventure, this life that I'm pursuing with my family, by separating that from the qualifier of, well, we have to do this because we want to raise awareness for diabetes, and just say, no, like, I'm choosing to do this because diabetes is not going to stop me from having a life that I want to live, and hoping that people get that message. And so this idea, this concept of little fear has been on my mind, because I've realized that so much of the fear that I have in my life and the limitations that I've felt have been self-imposed. I want to read a quote that I think is a good segue into this. This is by Frank Herbert from the Dune Chronicles. I hope you may be familiar with this, because I actually heard this quote for the first time when I got into climbing, and it really stuck with me. "I must not fear. Fear is the mind killer. Fear is the little death that brings total obliteration. I will face my fear. I will permit it to pass over me and through me. And when it has gone past, I will turn the inner eye to see its path. Where the fear has gone, there will be nothing. Only I remain. I spent the last two episodes, episode 39 and 40, talking about various limitations and obstacles that are in the path of living your dream and going out on the road, pursuing adventure, or whatever it is that you're seeking. And a lot of that involves very realistic conversations and self-exploration that you have to do on your own part and that I've had to do and that anybody who wants to take a similar path has to do in their own time. But it's very important to understand that there's a big difference between things that you need to attend to and responsibilities that you have versus small fear that is causing your obliteration. The little death, as Frank Herbert calls it, that small dying of the spirit and of the soul, where the things that you would take into your power and that you have the will to execute, but that because you're afraid, you stop yourself short from doing. Not being completely in a panic, but little steps that would ultimately lead to larger moves that would lead to possibly life-transforming events down the road that we don't do or that we wait to do because of the little fear and specifically things that we worry about with how other people are going to perceive what we're doing. I read an interesting article the other day, which I actually posted on our Facebook page, facebook.com/livingvertical. You can see the article there about the imposter syndrome. Have you heard of this? The imposter syndrome is basically a way of thinking about usually creative work or something that you're building or developing that you have a hard time seeing the value in your own work, where you constantly feel as though you're not qualified or you're not good enough or you don't belong. And that's something that I've dealt with for a very long time. And I never really knew that it had a name as such. I just thought that I wasn't good at selling myself. And I think that a big part of that imposter syndrome is really tied up with little fear, because ultimately it comes down to caring about what other people think of what you're doing. And it's such a small thing, and it's so simple to just say, well, don't care, and just let go of what other people think. But at the same time, it's one of the hardest things to do in practice. Every time I get behind this microphone, and as I've started to get in front of the camera, maybe I'm in front of the microphone too. I'm not really behind it. I guess it depends on where your perspective is coming from, right? But anytime you try to create anything in any sort of medium, there's always this thought in your head. You have to confront that fear head on. It's not just when you go out and want to do something big, like the move, that's the first and foremost thing on my mind that I look at as being kind of a big life-changing type of thing. But like, there is this fear and this confrontation of fear every time any one of us steps out of that comfort zone and puts ourselves out there and creates something and puts it in front of other people and says, here you go. Now, I want to take a second and talk about fear as it relates specifically to type 1 diabetes, because I have realized recently, I've taken inventory in my day-to-day management, my day-to-day routines, and I've realized that about 5 to 7 minutes of each day is actually spent managing my medical condition. Now, when I think about the role that diabetes plays in my life, it certainly seems much more significant than a third of a percent of my day. And I've realized that that's because there has been an extent to which I have given this worry the space in my life to occupy territory that could be taken up by things that are more productive. We don't have a choice whether or not we have to address and whether we have to deal with the specific health issues that we have facing us. I can't just stop taking insulin, but I can stop worrying about what is going to happen when I do the best that I can and the best that I know how to do. And then that way I'm able to limit the impact that fear has in my life and in my diabetes. Now, I recently got into I don't want to say an argument because it really wasn't an argument. I was on Instagram and another person who was on there tagged me in a photo that was a very grim perspective on diabetes. And I'll just leave it at that. It was, when I looked at the photo, it was, you know, an emaciated little girl with a quote that was very evocative and kind of like, you know, almost like one of those, Sarah McLachlan commercials that they have with, you know, the ASPCA, I think it is, saving the puppies, where they show the dogs with their sad eyes and, you know, in slow motion and like, you could save this animal. And kind of that was the feeling that I got when I was looking at it. And they tagged me in this photo, I'm guessing because they assumed that I would be aligned with that view or vision of diabetes. And now going back, even doubly connecting this, I guess, to the concept of fear, I was afraid at first because I was like, do I let this slide? Do I just like the photo? Do I just ignore it? But I was like, you know, I feel like I have a responsibility to practice being honest and practice being forthright about how I feel, because people don't have to like how I feel. They don't have to agree with how I feel. But if somebody's going to tag me in a photo, I have, you know, I need to be strong enough to just say, hey, look, I disagree. So basically, I said that. I said, you know, I feel like this is a vision of diabetes that's very dark, that's very negative. And even though this may be an authentic representation of the way many parents feel about what their kids have to go through, that it's our responsibility as parents to fight our own fear so that those fears and shortcomings and the helplessness and the guilt and all the other baggage that we have to contend with and wrestle with, so that that does not get projected onto our kids. Because when other people see those kind of negative representations, it affects the way that they feel. So I say all of that to say that, you know, it was a good experience for me to find a way to be proactive in stating how I feel and not being afraid to disagree publicly about a subject that is kind of touchy, because I've taken heat in the past for not being a team "We Need a Cure for Diabetes." I believe in research. I've worked in research. A lot of the work that I do right now to support myself is involved in diabetes research. And so that's something that is very important. But I think that the idea that we need a cure and that we are afraid of going on in our lives without a cure is damaging. I think it's dangerous, because I would love to not have to deal with this challenge, but at the same time, I have no qualms about the importance of facing this challenge, because it has taught me how to recognize fear and to deal with fear. Because the reality is, I believe that most people, the big hurdle is not having to take injections, having to deal with your health and the specific tasks that you have to perform to make that happen. The bigger burden is the fear. And we can't choose to remove the challenge. We can't choose to take diabetes out of the picture. I know I can't do that for myself. But we can choose how we deal with fear. We can choose whether or not we grant that way of thinking, whether we grant that space in our own life. We have a choice about that. And that's why I am so thankful that climbing is part of my life, because I have an opportunity to use what I've learned about managing fear, about managing risk. And in the article that is on the our Facebook page, the Living Vertical Facebook page. It concludes talking about the imposter syndrome and dealing with fear of, you know, that you're not qualified enough. It concludes the article by saying that we need to invite that fear in for tea and just sit with it and be okay with it. That's the goal of everything that I'm doing in my own life. It's not about saving the world or spreading awareness or anything like that. I think that giving people information that's useful, I think that showing a perspective of diabetes that sheds a different light on it, that raises awareness, I think that's part of it. I think that's a benefit that goes along with it just because of the simple fact that I happen to have this condition. But the point of all of it is to live a life that is not encumbered by fear, where some crazy idea is reasonable to approach, to assess, and then execute if we're dealing with the hard and fast facts of what is involved and we're trying. We're trying instead of being afraid and backing down from the challenge. That's not something that just applies to diabetes. That doesn't just apply to climbing. That doesn't just apply to health. That's something that applies to every area of our lives. I hope that fear and thinking about the role that fear plays in our lives can maybe make us all a little bit more conscious of the choice that we do have so that we can take the steps to create the change that we want to happen in whatever context that may appear. Okay, well, I appreciate the fact that you've taken the time to listen to this episode, and I hope that you're excited about what is coming up for us as we are. I hope you are getting psyched for our meetup season that is going to be coming up in 2016 for YouTube videos, for more blogs, for more photos on social media, and more of the story as it unfolds as we get out there on the road. If you would like to support the work that we're doing, please subscribe to this podcast on iTunes. And if you haven't done so already, please leave us an honest review of what you think of the podcast that might be beneficial for other people who may be looking at it to know. That would be appreciated by us, helps more people find the work that we're doing. And also, certainly just sharing this podcast, sharing our website, our social media pages, whichever ones you find the most value in and that you like to spend the most time on, share those with your friends, because that's how we get more people involved in the work that we're doing. Next time on episode 42 of the Adventure RX podcast, it is going to be the 2015 year-end wrap-up, and it's not going to be a clip show because I don't really feel like doing that. Actually, it's going to be another fairly short episode where we're going to really lay out a blueprint for 2016, what you can expect to see and hear from us, and some of the changes that we're going to be making. Really, there's just going to be more. That's really what it comes down to. So if you've enjoyed what we've been doing so far, get ready for 2016 and the next episode, where we're going to sketch out a little bit more for you of what that more that we're going to be doing looks, sounds, and feels like, where you can find it. And in the meantime, visit livingvertical.org, sign up on our email list, because that's the simplest way for you to stay connected at the hub of the wheel with everything that we're doing to promote adventure as the foundation of a healthy lifestyle for all of us.